Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Make the world a better place.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, December 28th, 2022. Back to the announcements real quick. We will be closed again for the holidays. And that means New Year's Eve, December 31st. And we will be partially open, as we established in the first hour, on Sunday, January 1st, 2023, from 8 to 4 p.m. only. And then closed again on Monday, January 2nd. So there you go. You have been, you know, noticed. Just kidding. And perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive, RBN's John Stadmiller book drive, now through January 8th, which is coming fast. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. Winners announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins, 8 p.m. Central, except when we take time off, obviously. Entrants who do not win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing, and so that means you who have already, you know, who are already entrants, and those who make donations this week, and then we're into the final week. So that will be true for this week remaining only going forward. Congratulations to the past winners: Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, Renee, KS, and thank you to everyone. Thank you all to the winners and the participants for your generosity in helping and supporting the network. All donations are always much appreciated and gratefully received. Thank you to everyone for keeping RBN and John Stadmiller's legacy alive. This week's book, The Elite Serial Killers of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, and MLK, by Robert Galen Ross, Sr., published in 2001. Visit republicbroadcasting.org for details. In the first hour, the opening of the first hour, I mentioned a few details. I will forego that in the second hour. A friend sent me a message an excerpt actually from Michael J. Sullivan's Age of Myth. And we've talked about myth. I've mentioned some interesting sources speaking of, you know, when we had a moment where we enjoyed Wagner and, you know, there are certain folks who have observed that no one's better at myth than the Germans. And that, you know, again, people, that our proclivities have been weaponized against us in ways that people don't comprehend. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening, but that's kind of the presumption, the general presumption. Well, I'm much too smart, I'm much too erudite for that. And so, right. And Clark's third law continues to apply with force. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So these magic tricks persist. What is the majority? What is the democratic majority? Speaking of democracy, you know, we just played the clip yesterday. These things just sort of swirl around in my head. So Joe Biden on defending democracy, that's the title of the Council on Foreign Relations video that we played, the clip that we played in the last hour. Joe Biden, again, you know, returning to the historical dumpster fire where, you know, Joe Biden says, you know, I got a commitment from Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor. I still can't believe, I just can't believe that we, you know, he said it. Anytime, you know, the word Ukraine should be it should be the Streisand effect. I mean, it's like I have a bad case of voluntary Tourette's when I hear Ukraine. You know, and I think Biden prison, basically, you know, Ukraine, Biden prison. That's kind of how it sounds in my mind. I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor. Take action against the state prosecutor. This is a window into the mind of Joe Biden and the, you know, folks who are in the sway of, you know, let's call it the World Economic Forum zeitgeist. Just the hardened, you know, Jacinda Ardern types. Well, it sounds like you're talking about two systems, basically freedom and prison. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Two systems. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep. You either toe the line or the hammer will fall. That is something. But this is a window into the mind of Joe Biden and how this, you know, how the, you know, these sycophants to power think. And, you know, their modus operandi. Take action against the state prosecutor. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in the wake of COVID shenanigans. And, you know, we can go back and listen to, what was it, Anthony Fauci, January 2017, I think, at Georgetown University, I want to say. Something's going to happen. This administration will face... How did he know? How was the, you know, how were the Event 201 folks so marvelously prepared? And yet Bill Gates, I guess, had amnesia when he said we didn't prepare for this. So now you look back and we never scenario planned or, you know, except when we did, of course, but the two most recent biggest at that point, I would argue, are obviously Event 201 and Crimson Contagion. So there's criminality. And, you know, again, I mentioned Edward Dowd's remarks in the Highwire episode 298, December 15. And Edward Dowd saying from his background in, shall we say, corporate finance, you know, broadly speaking, how does this work? These people will run the narrative threadbare. They will never, you know, criminality at this level will never back off. The hubris demands that it doesn't. And when it is unchecked, as I've said before, the hubris is emboldened. When it commits these crimes out in the open and it is unchecked, when Joe Biden says, I got a commitment from Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and the crowd laughs nervously after he says, you know, I said, you're not getting the $1 billion. He said, you're not the president. I said, you know, you're not getting the $1 billion. I'm leaving in 6 hours. And what do you know? Son of a gun. He got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. I mean, this is mafia stuff. Right out in plain sight. Absolutely astonishing. We need to come to our senses quickly. This kind of thing, you know, you shouldn't be surprised that criminality exists or that it is this emboldened, but we should all draw a line in our own minds and say, this is unacceptable. Even if only to call it out specifically and not in an emotionally fueled, you know, sort of way, but just in a way that says you've crossed the line. So, you know, again, Philippians 1:28 in the NASB, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. You know, not surprised, not alarmed, in no way alarmed. Just saying, this is the line, and if you have made widows and orphans your plunder, you know, if you've made widows your spoil and orphans your plunder, you've crossed the line. So what of the Democratic majority, so-called? So we just played, you know, today we played Joe Biden, yesterday we played Walter Williams. Why the founders did not want a democracy. And, you know, Walter E. Williams spelled it out very clearly. We played that clip yesterday. And, you know, today we have that juxtaposed with Joe Biden on defending democracy. And there's the Bernaysian history of freedom and democracy that Bernays himself even talked about, boasted about. This is a slogan that persists long after, you know, the ghost of Edward Bernays is still in effect. Speaking of Ukraine and what Joe Biden said about Russia, the ghost of Zbigniew Brzezinski lives on too, apparently. Anyway, Democratic majority. Let's do that and move on. Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Again, everybody should have a copy and read it probably once a year. Not because it's the most important book to read, but just, I mean, it, you know, for setting aside the solutions, you know, the articulation of the problem, I think is very, it's just amazing. You read it and you think, back in that day, you know, 1944, 45, how on earth was Friedrich August von Hayek able to amass the citations that he collected from around the world? Anyway, introduction, chapter 1, The Abandoned Road. Chapter 2, The Great Utopia. 3, Individualism and Collectivism. 4, The Inevitability, quote-unquote, of Planning. 5, Planning and Democracy. 6, Planning and the Rule of Law. 7, Economic Control and Totalitarianism. Again, you know, I think one of the great companions would be John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth. You could sort of read them in tandem. 7, Economic Control and Totalitarianism. 8, Who, Whom, question mark. 9, Security and Freedom. 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. We'll return there in a minute. 11, The End of Truth. 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism. 13, The Totalitarians in Our Midst. 14, Material Conditions and Ideal Ends. 15, The Prospects of International Order. 16, Conclusion. It's always interesting how someone, you know, can spell out the problem so well, and then the solution they articulate is, or advocate is, you know, you go along with the, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's exactly the problem. And then you get to that last bit and you're like, yikes, that doesn't sound right at all. So we don't like the totalitarians in our midst, so we should be kinder, gentler totalitarians. That doesn't make sense at all. So what do we mean by majority? A couple of passages. You know, it's the hubris. There are strong reasons for believing that what to us appear the worst. And, you know, chapter 11, I mean, when I did this before the 2016 election, I read, I think, mostly from chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, and chapter 11, The End of Truth, which go hand in hand, you know, the totalitarian propaganda that has to create the tabula rasa that doesn't leave anything. You know, as Hayek wrote in chapter 11, the moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda are of an even more profound kind. They are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. Think about what has happened just in the last few years. Donald Trump is a firebrand that has paved the way for things like the gender dysphoria crowd, or the pronoun crowd, or the LGBTQ, you know, whatever nonsense. And it is nonsense. And it continues to undermine our sense of truth because it is designed to. Destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. You know? Not necessarily a Ben Shapiro fan, but, you know, he's right when he says facts don't care about your feelings. And the truth is, you know, you're not what you imagine. Stick around. We'll be right back. Politics, Republicans, Texas,
Radio and Republic Broadcasting have put together a live broadcast day on January 1st, 2023, all day long.
All right, on New Year's Day, I don't want you to get too hammered on New Year's Eve, because I want you to be able to get up as bright-eyed, bushy-tailed as you can, because we're going to have a very special broadcast live on New Year's Day. We haven't got all of the arrangements and all the special guest interviews and all the fun quite packaged together yet, but we're well on our way. You're going to hear some great hosts here at RBN. You're going to hear some great interviews, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be fun.
After New Year's Eve, tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, on using me until you use me up, until you use me up, my brother.
Welcome back. The Age of Myth. We'll get back to that in a minute. So, moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda are profound. They are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. Think about this whole "I identify as" nonsense. Well, I identify as – it doesn't – you know, that usually – is curbed at a very young age. Children engage in fantasy, and then at some point they are how do you say, they are encouraged to, yes, imagination is good to a certain extent in a particular context and application, but then, you know, this overindulgence, Sebastian Maniscalco's story of the lion in his child's class, for example, the child who identifies as a lion, it's absurd. Yet we are all being told that we have to bow to this insanity, and it is destructive. And the consequences are, as Hayek writes, you know, it undermines the sense of and respect for truth. And what is that teaching the next generation? It's not so much the parents as it is the children who are growing up with that experience that is being normalized in their so-called classroom, which reminds me of Bertrand Russell in The Impact of Science on Society, reminding us of guys like Fitta and Anaxagoras, etc., etc., and the social psychologists masquerading as teachers, though they don't know it. John Taylor Gatto told us about that. So back to chapter 10 with that in mind, trying to get to this tyrant's majority. What is it, 51%? No. Probably not. Not necessarily, and in most cases, probably not 51%. Well, then what is it? Hayek defined it, I think, very well. So chapter 10, why the worst get on top. There are strong reasons for believing that what to us appear the worst features of the existing totalitarian systems are not accidental byproducts, but phenomena which totalitarianism is certain, sooner or later, to produce. Just as the democratic statesman who sets out to plan economic life. Ah, yes, the planned society. Again, John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth comes to mind. Who sets out to plan economic life will soon be confronted with the alternative of either assuming dictatorial powers or abandoning his plans. So the totalitarian dictator would soon have to choose between disregard of ordinary morals and failure. It is for this reason that the unscrupulous and uninhibited Joe Biden, Donald Trump for that matter, are likely to be more successful in a society tending toward totalitarianism. More successful. Increasingly of this makeup. You know, I wasn't there. I don't know. And I dare say I've not done as much research as Robert Galen Ross Sr., but, you know, the idea that if looks could kill, as he put it, JFK would have died from Johnson's look at in Fort Worth on the morning of November 22nd, 1963. That last interview, I mean, the characterization of LBJ is markedly different than what, you know, I hear, and see. You know, he was a two-term guy, which is interesting. You know, it's an interesting story. I think he was a useful fellow as much or more than anything. But, you know, you come forward from there that you can see the hubris growing. Can't you? In Reagan, certainly. In Bush in a different sort of way. Clinton, definitely. Bush, too, definitely, again, in a different way. Obama, definitely. Trump, Biden, growing. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. while we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. I didn't finish my housekeeping. Let's see. I think I'm done. If I say 4 days to New Year's, speaking of the countdown, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, 4 days until New Year's, 3 days and change. My movie pick for today is a movie called I Believe. Released in 2019. This is the, you know, Christmas season movie stuff that we began on November 17th, the week before Thanksgiving. I Believe. a 9-year-old boy experiences God's power in a supernatural way. It's a pretty remarkable show. Starring Wilford Brimley and Tom Sizemore. It's interesting how many A-list folks, or, you know, arguably A-list folks, make their way into these kinds of films. You can find it on YouTube, published by Christian Movies, the Christian Movies YouTube channel, and watch it in its entirety on YouTube, actually, if you so desire. Back to this definition, working definition, the tyrant's majority, you know, what are we talking about? Is it 51%? No, probably not. What is it? To wrap up the excerpt from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top. I don't mean to jump around, but, you know, it all blends together in my mind anyway. So how does this social mechanism work, or how does this social organism evolve and incubate, and who is the ostensible leader, shall we say? You know, I always think of, even in, you know, certainly in the corporate world, but you know, in politics as well, and in America, there is no separation, really. You know, we talk about the public-private partnership. You know, everything in America is corporate, whether business or government, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is corporate. And so that's interesting. So, you know, the point being that the organization emulates its leadership. And what does that portend? So, continuing from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. It is then the man or the party who seems strong and resolute enough to get things done who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority, but there's more specifics to come on that. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. And again, I think, you know, when we when the 2016 elections were in view, this is Donald Trump. I mean, if this is anybody, it's Donald Trump. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. You got, Washington, D.C. fenced off for election time and guarded by federal or national troops. You have, Operation Warp Speed. Overseen and, you know, kind of directed by military channels. You have Michael Flynn going around the country and continuing to keep the Trump enthusiasts frothy. The new type of party organized on military lines. And if you don't see, you know, the Sound of Music on the winds, then I don't know what to tell you. Maybe have your prescription checked or something. So continuing, that socialism can be put into practice only by methods which most socialists disapprove of, of course, a lesson learned by many social reformers of the past. And that echoes Chapter 2. The Great Utopia, where Hayek wrote, "It is rarely remembered now that socialism in its beginnings was frankly authoritarian. The French writers who laid the foundations of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the revolution. What is that? The Marxist workers of the world unite! Get them stirred up, get them all chaotic and frothy, and then a deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power," quote unquote. Where freedom was concerned, the founders of socialism made no bones about their intentions. Freedom of thought they regarded as the root evil of 19th century society, and the first of modern planners, Saint Simon, even predicted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. Yeah, but Chris, this is America. This is America. We're free. Well, speaking of the protocols, protocol number one, section gold, point number seven, in our day, the power which has replaced that of the rulers who were liberal is the power of gold. Time was when faith ruled. The idea of freedom is impossible of realization because no one knows how to use it with moderation. This is a point, again, echoed in places like Hayek's Road to Serfdom, where he talks about the, you know, it is a corollary. Well, the three main reasons why, well, I'm getting ahead. Oh, wait. Hold that thought. So here's the point, though, from the protocols. The idea of freedom is impossible of realization because no one knows how to use it with moderation. It is enough to hand over a people to self-government for a certain length of time for that people to be turned into a disorganized mob. What happens when you do that? Hey, hey, break it up, break it up, break it up. You need a nanny. You need an arbiter. You need somebody to come in. If you can remove the Bible and faith and the fear of the Lord, then, and you, especially if you can groom people on this idea that the revolutionary impulse is necessary and even beneficial, my goodness. That's, you know, the idea, like Hayek writes, that socialism can be put into practice only by methods which most socialists, you know, by authoritarian dictatorial means. You know, Saint Simon, go back to Plato's Republic, for Pete's sake. This is not a new concept. So, it is enough to hand over people to self-government for a certain length of time for that people to be turned into a disorganized mob. From that moment on, we get internecine strife, which soon develops into battles between classes. The, you know, it's the Huntington Clash of Civilizations, in the midst of which states burn down and their, you know, the nihilistic, atheistic impulse, and their importance is reduced to that of a heap of ashes. That's from the protocols. Protocol number one, the basic doctrine. So back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Chris, that's a spurious document. Sure it is, but isn't it interesting how this fairy tale is playing out in real life? How do you suppose that has been happening over the last 100 years? Fairy tale is coming to life. That socialism can be put into practice only by methods which most socialists disapprove is, of course, a lesson learned by many social reformers in the past. The old socialist parties were inhibited by their democratic ideals, their egalitarianism, and their altruism. They did not possess the ruthlessness required for the performance of their chosen task. It is characteristic that both in Germany and Italy, The success of fascism was preceded by the refusal of the socialist parties to take over the responsibilities of government. They were unwilling wholeheartedly to employ the methods to which they had pointed the way. They still hoped for the miracle of a majority's agreeing, and this is, you know, an actual numerical majority, agreeing on a particular plan for the organization of the whole of society. Others had already learned the lesson that in a planned society, the question can no longer be on what do a majority of the people agree, but what the largest single group is whose members agree sufficiently to make unified direction of all affairs possible. Ah, what happens when you have a situation like what we have now where the Bateson double bind has been in full effect for nearly, you know, going on 3 years, that has everyone, you know, in a society that is generally categorized by, you know, the 50-50 split on studies, as I said. Do vaccines cause autism? I don't know. Some studies say yes, some studies say no. Well, I am of a mind to listen to someone like Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who doesn't have a dog in the fight and is a subject matter expert par excellence. What does she say? And what are the motives of the other folks? You know, show me where a man gets his corn pone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So, in a planned society, the question can no longer be on what do a majority of the people agree, but what is the largest single group, what the largest single group is whose members agree sufficiently to make unified direction of all affairs possible, or if no such group large enough to enforce its views exists, how it can be created and who will succeed in creating it. There are three main reasons why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather by the worst elements of any society. By our standards, the principles on which such a group would be selected will be almost entirely negative. In the first instance, it's probably true that in general, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals become, the more their views and tastes are differentiated and the less likely they are to agree on a particular hierarchy of values. It is a corollary of this that if we wish to find a high degree of uniformity and similarity of outlook, we have to descend to the regions of lower moral and intellectual standards. This lends itself to the spirit of Western esotericism, I would say, and the Gnostic Kabbalistic impulse. Parenthetical aside. So we have to descend to the regions of lower moral and intellectual standards where the more primitive and common quote-unquote instincts and tastes prevail. This does not mean that the majority of people have low moral standards. It merely means that the largest group of people whose values are very similar are the people with low standards. And what does that portend? Again, you know, well, continuing. It is, as it were, the lowest common denominator which unites the largest number of people. If a numerous group is needed, here's where the democratic majority is essentially defined. If a numerous group is needed, strong enough to impose their views on the values of life on all the rest, it will never be those with highly differentiated and developed tastes. It will be those who form the mass, quote-unquote, in the derogatory sense of the term, the least original and independent, who will be able to put the weight of their numbers behind their particular ideas or ideals. If, however, a political dictator had to rely entirely on those whose uncomplicated and primitive instincts happen to be very similar, their number would scarcely give sufficient weight to their endeavors. He will have to increase their numbers by converting more to the same simple creed. Here comes in the second negative principle of selection. He will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values. if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. It would be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. And you might as well throw in a good, healthy liberal helping, so to speak, of the Dunning-Kruger effect here, obviously. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So just to conclude the Hayek Road to Serfdom excerpt from Chapter 10, in this case, Why the Worst Get on Top, it is in connection with the deliberate effort of the skillful demagogue to weld together a closely coherent and homogeneous body of supporters, you know, the Democratic majority, wink, wink, that the third and perhaps most important negative element of selection enters. It seems to be almost a law of human nature that it is easier for people to agree on a negative program, on the hatred of an enemy, on the envy of those better off, than on any positive task. America? Hello? The contrast between the we and the they, or, you know, you can't use pronouns like that, but, you know, the common fight against those outside the group, otherism, seems to be an essential ingredient in any creed which will solidly knit together a group for common action. It is consequently always employed by those who seek not merely support of a policy, but the unreserved allegiance of huge masses. From their point of view, it has the great advantage of leaving them greater freedom of action than almost any positive program. And the irony is, you unleash the forces of eliminationism, and I wonder, you know, what in the world is going on with my bookmarks? So strange. And it becomes the undoing of the folks that have been sort of weaponized against themselves. So ironic. Again, from the protocols, right is might. You know, in a Nietzschean era, this is such a toxic mix. You know, in a godless society, where does this kind of Groundhog Day experience, you know, when people finally come to the end of themselves, you know, again, it is enough to hand over people to self-government for a certain length of time for the people to be turned into a disorganized mob who need a nanny. Right is might, point 18, in order to elaborate satisfactory forms of action, is necessary to have regard to the rascality, the slackness, the instability of the mob, its lack of capacity to understand and respect the conditions of its own life or its own welfare. Bernays, Walter Lippmann, Gustave Le Bon, of course, many folks have spoken to the insanity of the mob. It must be understood that the might of a mob is blind, senseless, and unreasoning force, ever at the mercy of a suggestion from any side. And again, speaking of myth, you know, Gustave Le Bon said, you know, whoever wants to try to take away their myth is, you know, quickly becomes their victim. So speaking of the age of myth, Michael J. Sullivan's Age of Myth, he sat down near the glowing stone. Fulfillment comes from striving to succeed, to survive by your own wits and strength. Such things make each of us who we are. Use the blanket, he rubbed his hair. You lose that incapacity, lose yourself, and that loss saps your capacity for joy. I think comfort can be a curse, an addiction that without warning or notice erodes hope. You know what I mean? He looked at each of them, but no one answered. Live with it long enough, and the prison stops being the walls or the guards. Instead, it's the fear you can't survive on your own, the belief you aren't as capable or as worthy as others. I think everyone has the capacity to do great things, to rise above their everyday lives. They just need a little push now and then. Today's movie, I believe, released in 2019. In a Nietzschean society, we tend toward the strongman, the ubermensch. But we shouldn't. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.